This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. Today, 10th of Jumada الأولى 1442 الموافق ل 25 December 2020. بإذن الله تعالى will be dealing with this important topic about the youth in the Muslim community. Inshallah, I will address this topic بإذن الله تعالى through the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in fact, I have chosen two of these hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from a lot of them. We have so many hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam focus on the younger ones because of their importance. So first of all, I will read those hadith inshallah in very brief way, and then second of all, I will get into the definition of the youth and this issue of the use or the moral value that we are going to be discussing. These values, I will talk about them within those hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will be quoting. So inshallah, I will try to be very brief today. Inshallah, I will be with you for about 30 to 40 minutes, and then I will stop for question and answers and close the session after that, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sab'atun yudhilluhum Allahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhilluh." He said there are seven people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put under the shade of his arsh, the day in which there is no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows importance, and this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually catches the attention of the audience. And he is the best teacher you can see. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, when he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the best teacher, he has never seen a teacher, he has never come across a teacher that is that could be compared with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qattu qablahu." He said, "I have never come across a teacher like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So one of the methodologies the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is following when he teaches is that he catches the attention of the people. He will tell you first, thalathatun, you know, there are three people. You know, so a person will be, stretching his neck to see who are these three people. You know, three people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do this for them. Three people will be in trouble. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes will tell people, listen, you know, bring their hearts forward first, and then he will tell them what he wanted to say. So now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to discuss an important matter, but he began this matter by an important privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant some of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among these people who will be given this privilege. What is that privilege? On the day of judgment, you know how critical is going to be the situation. The hardship would reach beyond what human being can bear. You know, that's why they will be traumatized by the situation they find themselves. People will be in a state of confusion. And not only this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the sun closer to them. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "وَتَكُونُ الشَّمْسُ قَدْرَ عَلَى قَدْرِ الْمِيلِ." And it will be like 1 mile. Is it that the mile out of distance, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about something else? Because there is a meal also, which is the stick we put in the container of the eyeliner. It is called also a meal, which means the sun is going to be very closer. So without going into the much detail about this. You all know what sun means and how far it is from us, you know, nowadays. And still sometimes in some places it is extremely hot. So that means on the Day of Judgment, the issue is going to be much higher, you know, much greater in terms of difficulty when the sun is very close to us. So now you will understand why is it so important for you to know that there is a possibility for you to be receiving this shade on the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are seven people. There are seven people who will be given the shade of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. So who are these seven people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Imamun Adil. And the first one he mentioned is the righteous ruler. And by the way, I brought this hadith because the vast majority of those who are mentioned in this hadith, they are from the youth. You know, Imamun Adil, the first person mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the just ruler. Because leadership is extremely important, you know. There is no life without leadership. In a way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are on a journey, you know, if you are on a journey and you reach three people, you have to appoint somebody to lead you. There is no life without leadership. Some scholars said, even if these leadership are wrong, but we have to be controlled, you know. You know, human being by nature, they turn to go beyond their limits. There has to be somebody who will be implementing the law in the people by force to get idea, because you have different types of mentalities living in our communities. There are some people who stays away from shameful and evil things by themselves, and there are some people who are not willing to stop, but because of the religious, you know, approaches, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stop the evil. And there are some who lack this and that. So they need somebody to put them, you know, into control. They need somebody to let them understand that there is somebody who is monitoring everyone in the city. So this imam could be anyone. Could be an elderly person, could be a young person. And subhanAllah, and if we are just to stop this to see how much contribution have been given by the youth, you know, the younger ones, you know, when it comes to younger ones being given the opportunity to lead the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did a lot. They did a lot. You know, we're talking about leadership. Usama ibn Zayd, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was assigned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lead an army in which many great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were part of that army. But how old was he? Only 18 years old. Nowadays, look at 18 years old, you know, in our communities. Subhanallah. They are in the state of haywire, living in a haze, you know. The life is absolutely and completely different. Those ones were not like that. Talking about leadership, this younger boy, you know, at the age of 17, 18, he led the Muslim army. You know, he led the Muslim army justly, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will never appoint him if he is not qualified. Prophet did not appoint anyone except somebody who qualifies the responsibility, is guided by Allah. That's the reason why when Amr ibn al-As was assigned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to lead the Muslim army, and he introduced certain things which was strange to the people who were with him, including Abu Bakr and Umar. They were part of that army. Umar was annoyed, and he went to Abu Bakr, you know, and he told him, "Ya Abu Bakr, do you see what this man is doing with us? First, he prayed with us with Tayammum, and he did not take shower; he had janaba. Secondly, we are so cold. I mean, the environment, the weather is too cold, and he did not allow anyone to light up fire, to make fire." And thirdly, we defeated the enemy and he did not allow us to go and chase them away and take the booties. So they couldn't understand, because this is the first time it happened. And subhanAllah, look at what Abu Bakr told him. Abu Bakr said to him, "Umar, relax. if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that you are better than him, he will never appoint him, he will appoint you. So when Rasulullah sallallahu, what message is he trying to tell him? Just accept it, because he was appointed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam due to the qualification he has. And subhanAllah, when they reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they explained to him, and by the way, Amr ibn al-As also was quite young, you know, not very young, but somehow among the youth, if you look at the definition of some scholars, which we will be given, inshallah. So he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I was in a state of janaba, and then fortunately, the weather is too cold. Ya Rasulullah, I already perceive that if I am to take shower, I might lose my life. That's the reason why I make tayammum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed, and he did not say anything. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, the reason why I did not ask them to make the fire, Ya Rasulullah, we are only 500 of us, and we are going to attack a tribe, you know, there are many. Ya Rasulullah, if we don't hide ourselves, we might get into trouble, and they will be prepared for us, you know, Ya Rasulullah, the issue would not be easy for us. So I realized that we just have to tolerate the pain of the cold to attain the greatest success. So that's why I told them to be patient, you know, to relax, not to, submit to the cold environment, so that we can attain the greatest success. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, the last thing they complained about me is the issue of not following the enemy. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what we want is to teach them lesson, to bring them back to their consciousness, and we did. And Ya Rasulullah, there are many. If we follow them, there might be ambush, and then it will go against us. We are only a few of us. So the Prophet ﷺ appreciated what he did. And they mentioned also it is one of the best battles in which, you know, almost nobody lost his life in that battle. Nobody lost his life in that battle. So from this simple narration, you will understand that Rasulullah is the best leader in every sense. You know, he never appointed somebody to lead, you know, never appointed somebody to lead the Muslim except if that person is qualified. So he appointed Usama to lead the Muslim army. And how old was he? 17 years old. Can we do that today? To be honest with you, in every community, people will be in doubt. We are living in a community, even to lead the imamah in the masjid, people reject that. If you are not according to the age which fit their desire. Sometimes they were right, and the vast majority of the time they're wrong. Why do I say sometimes they were right? Because if you look at the nature of our youth, you know, subhanAllah, in terms of the quality of an imam, you know, to lead the prayer, you will find it being missing in many of us. And I teach in the university, sometimes if you ask the student to read the Quran, you know, simple things, sometimes, wallahi, sometimes you come to the masjid, you will be hesitated whether to follow that imam or you cannot follow him. Why? Because of the way he is reciting the very beginning of the surah, you know, the surah al-Fatiha, the very beginning of the prayer, the way he is reciting is totally different from the way we are told to be the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're not talking about the perfect tajweed. We are talking about simple pronunciation of the word is missing. So you can understand why the elderly people, when they come to the masjid, they don't like to see a younger one being placed in front of the masjid. You know. But at the same time also, there is exaggeration here. Because we have also, alhamdulillah, in this regard, many, many, many from our young people who, mashallah, they're so perfect in their memorization, so perfect in the tajweed, you know. How many times you go to the masjid, you will see that the imam is making a mistake, but the people behind him, they're old people, mashallah. But they put the younger people behind. Why? Because they're too young to be behind the imam. But then when the imam make a mistake, none of these old people who is right behind the imam will be able to fix the imam. But then you will see, subhanAllah, a younger person, sometimes a child, fixing the imam from behind. But tomorrow still, if he comes to the masjid, we will have the courage and the guts to put him behind. To get idea. So that's the reason why I said we exaggerate sometimes, although there is some right into that practice which the people are doing due to circumstances where you find a younger person, but unfortunately, very negligent. So that's Usama bin Zaid. who was sent by the Prophet ﷺ to lead the army. He was a leader, he was imam. And he led them justly because nobody criticized his leadership. Because people are monitoring to see how a person is leading, the subordinate. And him being appointed by the Prophet ﷺ is more than enough. The last younger person, not very young, but young, who is under the category, you know, in the category of the youth, you know, Umar ibn Abdulaziz. When he was appointed to lead the Ummah, you know, he was only 30-something. And according to an interpretation of some scholars, a youth is the one who is from 16 to 30 or to 40. When a person is up to, below 40 years old, we still call him a younger person, youth. To get an idea. So Umar ibn Abdulaziz did not reach the age of Kuhula. You know, Jawzi categorized the stages of the age of a person, you know, the time when a person is janid. Janid means he's inside the womb of his mother. He comes out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call him tifl, you know, tifl, the stage of tufula. And then the Prophet, the person will be in the state of childhood, you know, until the time he reached the state of the youth, which is 16 years old or 15 years old. 15 to 16 years old. This is the beginning of the stage of youthness. And then it goes all the way to 40 years. After 40 years, this is when the sin of the Kuhula, the age of Kuhula will begin. Ibn Jawzi called it Sin al-Tawqquf, the age when the person, the capacity of the aql, the mental capacity will be completed, you know, will be very complete, you know. And a person will stop, you know, not moving. The aql will be completed and the body will not move anymore. And then after a few years, then the degenerative situation will begin. But this is for a few. Some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let them go like that. Even after that age, they will be able to maintain their strength and their power. And if you want a secret for this, my dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good, is dedication in the younger age. Do I need to qualify that? Yes, I should. You know, at least mention to you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will support you to make the best, you know, to make the best of that moment of your life, which is the age of the youth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ihfazillaha yahfazuka." You take care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of the prosperity, and when you're young, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you when you reach the time of difficulty and hardship, and when you reach the old age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. How are you taking care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means take care of His Sharia. How do you take care of the Sharia? The Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us at all. You know, brothers and sisters, let me just make it very clear for all of us. Sharia and Islam doesn't need anyone. You know, we need Islam. Islam doesn't need us. We need Islam. That's why the fear is not on Islam. Islam will never go. Wallahi, Islam will never go from the earth. No matter how much they try to cool it down, they cannot. Yawallah, they cannot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. He said, this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reach everywhere. You know, every place that the sun and the day and the night reach, every place. So that means every place on the globe. That means every place the religion is going to reach. He says, بِعِزِّ عَزِيزٍ أَوْ بِذُلِّ ذَلِيلٍ. Whether people like it or they don't like it, there will be no house, you know, there will be a time where there will be no house except that Islam is going to reach that house. So the fear is on us. You take an idea to be snatched by others, but the religion, nobody can touch it. So worry about yourself, worry about your iman, you know, preservation of the iman in your heart is part of preservation of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is an incentive being given to the person who preserved the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of him now and then. When you reach the old age, you might be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strength and power, you know, your limbs will be protected in the way you used to protect the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using them when you are at the younger age. I believe this is very, very clear. So back to the case of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, so that we will not digress that much. Umar ibn Abdulaziz was appointed to lead the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at that very young age. You can say at the age of 38, you know, around 38, he was given the leadership. And subhanAllah, he was able to do what, you know, the predecessors did not do. You know, right after Muawiyah, Ibn Abi Sufyan, you know that kind of righteousness that we used to see, you know, in the time of Muawiyah, in the time of Abu Bakr, in the time of Umar, we don't see it anymore that much, you know. SubhanAllah, the world was in the state of chaos. Not only the people are suffering, even the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was suffering from the crime of those leaders. Because even the prayer, they mess it up. A person will come and do khutbah in the way he wants, a person will come and pray, you know, not on time, you put it in the way he thinks is okay. They mess it up until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who started his leadership, you know, by fixing the prayers. SubhanAllah, Jazawallahu khairan. He fixed the prayers first and he concluded his leadership. He has some other issues he has, but these are the two great jobs he did for the Muslim Ummah, which we will never forget. One is he fixed and focused on the religion. And how did that happen? Because he has very good and excellent advisors that are surrounding him. Umar ibn Abdulaziz was one of them. And the second thing is, he appointed Umar ibn Abdulaziz to lead the Muslim Ummah after him. And how old is he? Around 38, you know. Not that old, you know. Around 38. So he appointed him to lead the Muslim Ummah. Did he do something, better than what was done before him? Did he change the world? Yes, my dear brothers and sisters. If you never come across the biography of this person, open your ears and listen to what he did. All of the corruption that happened in the past, this man managed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him ability. And subhanAllah, you know, he has only a few amongst the Muslims who are supporting him in that community. I'm talking about the authority. You can say his wife, who agrees to be very dedicated after coming out from that excellent house. She is also an example of the youth, you know. You can never see a wife in terms of dunya. You can never see a woman in terms of dunya. I don't think you can ever see a woman in terms of dunya than this woman. You know, why do I say that? Because her father was the Khalifa, you know. Her father was the Khalifa. Her four brothers were kulluhum khulafa. You know, she was surrounded by wealth and leadership and authority, you know. Her husband is the Khalifa. From every dimension, this woman, her name is Fatima bint Abdul Malik, you know. Her father is Khalifa, and her four brothers, each and every one of them was Khalifa. And her husband now is the Khalifa, subhanAllah. But she agrees to live that kind of ascetic life, whereby even to find food to eat, she and the husband is not easy. There was a time the husband was looking for what? He was looking for one dirham or dinar to buy grapes. She told him, "You used to be beyond this, but now you don't have this." You know? He totally abandoned the dunya to focus on the matters of the ummah because things have been messed up. Almost nothing is in its own proper position. Within 2 years, my dear brothers and sisters, believe it or not, go and read the history. Within 2 years, this young man was able to bring the ummah back to its consciousness. SubhanAllah, 2 years. People enjoy the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Within 2 years, Allah says, "Ja al-haqq wa zahaqa al-batil." You know, the evil has no place. We're the one who are making place for the evil. Wallahi, evil has no place. We're the one who are making place for it. If you bring the truth and you are sincere in applying the truth, the evil has to pack its property and leave the place. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz used this until the time some people look at him as somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed by making one of the signs of the Day of Judgment to take place in his time. When he says, وَيَفِيذُ الْمَالِ حَتَّى لَا يَقْبَلَهُ أَحَدٍ. This is going to happen in three stages. One of them happened during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. In some part of the world, people have been looking for somebody to take charity, but they couldn't find. How much just was that ruler? Allahu A'lam, But if we look in at the history to see how did he lead the Muslim Ummah, inshallah, he qualifies this mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imamun Adil. So that was the first person, you know. Al-Hasan al-Basri, I close with this nice statement of Al-Hasan al-Basri, because somebody might ask amongst the student of knowledge, you know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعَدَهُ شَرٌّ مِنْ. A time will never come except that the one that will come after it is worse than it. But then they look into the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, was so excellent. And the time before the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz was too bad. How come this time is extremely bad, but the one that comes after that, the one that came after that, was so good? Isn't it a contradiction? You know, when we place this question to a scholar, he answered that very well. He said, people should know Islam collectively. You know, look at the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make something continuous. Regardless of the attitudes and the manners of the people, Allah usually give us example and a break for us to take breath, you know, so that we will reflect and understand what really happened. Maybe we will come back and hold upon the truth properly. We have been enjoying the bad, we have been suffering from the bad life, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, usually according to His sunnah, He will give us a break, give us the example of the good life, so that the ummah will understand that change is always possible as long as we want to change. He told them, لَا بُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ زَمَانٍ يَتَنَفَّسُونَ فِيهِ. Imamun Adil, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. The second person, he said, وَرَجُلٌ, that's number two, قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. And a شَابٌ, قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A young person whose heart is always connected and attached to the masjid. A person whose heart is always connected and attached to the masjid. It doesn't mean a person to become a monk and go and stay in the masjid for day and night. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are talking about the heart that is connected to the masjid. Always this person is conscious. By the way, my brothers and sisters, why do you think adhan is prescribed for us? Adhan is for who? For the heedless people. Adhan is for who? For the heedless people, people of consciousness, even without adhan, they monitor the time, they worry about the prayer time. But adhan, when I say heedless people, I don't mean heedless in terms of batin. I mean people who go out of their consciousness. They're busy with something, they might not remember the prayer. Adhan is to remind them. It's a sha'ira min sha'ir al-deen, but one of its main purposes is to remind the people, invitation to the prayer, and to remind the people of the prayer time. But you have the good ones. If you read about the life of the predecessors, subhanAllah, they will tell you some of them for 40 years, some of them 25 years, 40 years, they never been into the masjid, you know, after the adhan. 5 minutes, 10 minutes before the adhan, they're always in the masjid. You know, continuously for 40 years, 25 years, they told us about some of them, this is their life. They fill up their youth, you know, with all of these manners and attitudes, then you can understand why this legacy they left for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still functioning up to date. So he says, قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَشَابٌ. And then he says, and the شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And the young person who was grown up, you know, based on the righteousness, nasha'a fi ibadatillah, the time of the youth was spent based on that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Honestly speaking, let us look at the nature of our youth nowadays. Do your own analysis. What is the attitude of the vast majority of the youth in this contemporary era of ours? Attached to the Sharia, or too far from the Sharia? In most instances, the second option. We have this intensive amount of power that Allah SWT has granted our younger ones. SubhanAllah, because this is the most prestigious, you know, age that you have in your life. Which, wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, if Allah SWT grants you extension of life, and you reach the time when you cannot utilize your strength, you will remember this golden era that you used to be in, but unfortunately you didn't utilize it properly. These are the best age for somebody to plant, you know, his future, to think about the future. What are we busy with nowadays? You know, I don't want to go into the much detail, but I do believe each and every one of us knows exactly what the younger ones are busy with nowadays. Easy to be snatched by others, especially the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The vast majority of those people who think that religion shouldn't be taken, you know, into consideration, and they don't see any difference between a Muslim and non-Muslims, and identity is not an issue, you know. Why do you put a barrier between you and others? We're not talking about the barrier, the physical barrier, but we're talking about the identity barrier. As a Muslim, you have to live as a Muslim. That identity of Islam has to be preserved in you. In the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see you in that, you have to maintain that. As a Muslim, wherever you go, this identity must be maintained. You don't need to write on you that I'm a Muslim, but this identity of Islam has to be maintained. Subhanallah, it looks like we turn to forget this. In the masajid, you find who is in the masajid? In almost every place, with the exception of a few. I have been to a place where you find the younger ones in the masajid, including the kids. All types of people, they will be in the masajid when the prayer time is being mentioned. And wallahi, sometimes even the bad ones, you know, those people who are, you know that these guys are bad ones. They don't care. They smoke, they do whatever they want to do. But when the prayer time comes, they will send a kid, you know, to give them water to make wudu, and you see them in the masjid, you know. But in the vast majority of the places, you know, you go to the masajid, who do you find in the masjid? You find nobody except the old ones. Where are the younger ones? Where are the younger ones? They are completely missing, you know. This is exactly a tragedy. Wallahi, this is exactly a tragedy. As I said, this identity of Islam has to be maintained. And it is really important to see it in the younger ones, you know, rather than the older ones. And I guess you are aware of the plan of the enemies of Islam. In every place, the focus is on the younger ones. Because they are the ones who are going to take over. And they are the ones who have more energy to participate in taking the religion up to others. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who excel in many battles, they're the younger ones. Go and read about the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Ahzab. You see the participation of the younger ones, you know. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to participate in the Battle of Uhud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disagreed with that because I was quite young. How old was he? 14 years old. Nowadays, at the age of 14 years old, if you talk to a child, you remind him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his father might fight you, the mother might fight you. I heard somebody who was saying that in the primary school, we shouldn't talk about Jannah or hell. We are scaring people, you know that? We are scaring people. We shouldn't do that. In the primary school, we shouldn't teach them about Allah. In the secondary school also, somebody told me personally that this is wrong for kids to understand this because it is too strong for them. But we're talking about Muslim children, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to give them all of these values and manners. At what age? Very young age. Ghulam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him Ghulam, Ya Ghulam, you know. Put him behind his camel or his donkey. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, Ya Ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimatin ihfazillah. This great hadith that the Ummah is trying to understand, which I believe if we to apply it properly, we will live a very excellent life and life of prosperity, because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that hadith. But it was given initially to who? To a younger person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them, go and see his life. It's all about teaching the younger ones. He focused so much on them. And wallahi, it is a very interesting lesson that we should understand, that the focus should be on the younger ones. Because whatever the case might be, they have more life. The possibility to live more in this life, they do have it more than us. And the enemy is focusing on them. Because if they manage to destroy them, what do you do with the older ones? At the end of the day, they are not going to handle the situation. And you can see in some places when the younger one who are not educated properly, the Islamic education, you can see the direction and the dimension they're taking the nations. It's Allah salam wa afiyah. So the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the focus was on the younger ones. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected him, you know, because he is quite young to participate in that very dangerous, you know, activity. Very dangerous because it might lead to, I call it dangerous, you know, but it's in the high position in Islam. But it might lead him, due to the lack of skill, you know, and the younger age, to just lose his life. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't want that to happen. So he rejected him. But I just want us to understand at what age the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to receive the request from the younger one. At what age? No, very younger age. No. And during the one of the battles, you know, I guess the same battle or one of them, a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was also quite young. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to participate in the battle." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, you're too young. We can't take you." You know. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I can do the job for you. You're talking about shooting arrows. Ya Rasulullah, I'm very good in this." Nowadays, you're talking about what? Games, watching footballs, you know, spending life with the opposite gender, day and night, doing all of these things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't. Which people are paying the price, you know, from time to time. Attach to the community and see how much evil the community is receiving from time to time because of this evil relationship that is taking place between the younger ones. You spent your life in this. And usually at the end of the day, in the vast majority of the situations, if a person maintains his Islam, wallahi, he receives nothing except regret. And the vast majority of the failing students in the universities, they are those people who disturb their life with this illegal relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very easy for you, you know. Why do you want to destroy your life with this? Go and marry. But unfortunately, sometimes the marriage, you know, when the child wants to marry, the father doesn't want to marry, let him marry. The mother doesn't want to let them marry. And you take them and send them to another place. Wallahi, I come across a situation, my dear brothers and sisters, trust me in this. I come across a situation somebody was telling me, because I used to go to these universities, especially the private universities. You know, I'm telling the truth. Only Allah knows what is going on in those places. There was a place I used to go on the monthly basis to give lecture. I will not mention the name of the university, but I used to go there to give lecture to the students. You know, subhanAllah. Every time I go to that place, I hear things, subhanAllah. They even have a marriage. They call it the marriage of that university. I was wondering, because every time people were asking me, new person will come and ask me about this marriage of this university. I said, "What is that?" They told me a sister will come and a brother will come, you know. They meet each other in the university, you know. The father sent them from overseas. They come here with no supervision, no control of anyone, you know. And they will get together, you know. They will get together. And sometimes they have children out of that illegal relationship. They marry themselves, by themselves, you know. If they make it according to the Sharia, I mean, if they make it according to the wrong opinion, you can understand. But this one is just they meet, she agree with him to live in the same place, you know. How can we succeed? I mean, how can the younger one succeed if this is our attitude? So that story that I was telling you was a sister that somebody dropped her in one of the universities, you know, subhanAllah. She said there is nobody who she doesn't sleep with, you know. Waliyadhu billah. And she said the father dropped her in that place. And when he comes, actually, he doesn't even visit her. She has to know that he is there. You know, subhanAllah, you can see how much, you know, this girl doesn't have value in his eyes, as if she is not his daughter. But subhanAllah, we don't care. They can go and do whatever they want to do, but when they propose to marry and the father is capable of letting them marry, the father has the means, has the finance, has everything, which the scholar said it is part of their right to get married from his wealth. But now he will raise up the dunya for them without getting it down. When they want to protect themselves, it will be an issue. But what do you think he was doing in that place? Allahu A'lam. So I will address the younger ones, you know, whoever can hear this, focus on your education. The Ummah is in need of you. This calamity and the tragedy the Ummah of Islam is suffering from, wallahi, you might be the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take it off from them. You don't know. But we need strong dedication, strong focus in your education. You understand that you are here for what? For a mission. Focus on that mission. I don't say don't play, but choose something which is not contradictory to your religion. This energy, don't spend it and waste it, you know, in the wrong way. You will regret in the way your predecessors regretted. Many people cried, and they wish they were not like this. The scholar said, "As-sa'idu man wu'idha bighayrihi." The righteous and the successful person is somebody who others, they take lesson from others, not from him. You, Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, take this into consideration. Do not ever let yourself to be lesson for others. Learn from others. You know, this bad relationship, this negligence, this waste of time that we have in the universities, every university, you know, you have students wasting their time. 4 years of your life, you spend it in a place, and all the opportunities have been given to you. You know, you don't use a single one. Because the aim and the purpose is what? The certificate you're going to get at the end of the day, which is not given in the proper place, because we will certify that you are qualified. And then you will be appointed next time, the next day, to lead the ummah. You lead them with what? You know, فَقِرُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِي. But unfortunately, since nowadays everything is based on the paper, you know, the paper says you're qualified and the reality says you're not. But since it is based on the paper, you will be appointed, you know, as a leader in the community, as a manager in a place, you know. And like, that's why you see almost every institution is what is messy. Look at the Islamic finance, for instance. Who are the legal advisors? Who are the people who are pushing the banks to go in the way they are? Who are the ones who are advising them? The younger ones who just graduated from the university, and those people who graduated, although they became a bit older, but they never go and educate themselves properly when it comes to the Islamic education. But they're going to talk on our behalf. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that boy, "We can." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, but I can do the shooting for you." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the companions. They said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah, he is very good in archery." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted him. His friend, when he heard about that, he quickly went to Rasulullah. Subhanallah, everyone is rushing to participate. You know, they want their name to be written in the history that they supported the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in the way to be, I mean, we want it to be written in the world that and people will praise us. No, they want to have their support to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the friend went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I heard that you accepted him and you rejected me." He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, because we need archery in that battle." And they told me he can do it. "I don't know about you." He said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, but I'm stronger than him. When we do wrestling physically, I'm greater than him, Ya Rasulullah. There will be need of wrestling also, Ya Rasulullah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh, okay, let's try and see." He brought the boy, you know, the other one, they tried. And he proved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he's quite strong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up both of them. Go to the Battle of Badr and see amazing things. When Abdurrahman bin Auf was saying that, "I was surrounded, I was hoping that I should be surrounded by, you know, great and strong people, you know, to be in my surrounding. But then when I see at my right, I couldn't see anyone except a very young person, you know. And I see at the left side, and then I see also another young boy. I was like, subhanallah, now what do I do in this battle? I'm supposed to be facing the enemies, but now I have to take care of the kids also at the same time." Subhanallah, he said, after a few minutes, one of the kids pushed him with his hand. He said, "Uncle, who is Abu Jahl?" You know, Abu Jahl is the criminal number one who brought the army to come and fight Rasulullah. He said, "Who is Abu Jahl?" Abdurrahman ibn Auf was shocked. He said, "What do you want with Abu Jahl?" And the boy was speaking in secret. "Who is Abu Jahl?" You know. So I asked him, "What do you want to do with Abu Jahl?" And the boy said to Abdurrahman bin Auf, he said, "I heard that he was one of the wicked and people against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He really disturbed the Prophet." He said, "Wallahi, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let me with my eyes witness him, one of us has to die." Subhanallah. He said, "If I am to see him, one of us has to go down." Abdurrahman bin Auf started to change his mind. You know, he thought he is surrounded by kids, but now the way this one is speaking, subhanallah, he changed his mind. And then after a few minutes, the other one also hit him. He's also talking about secret, to him in secret about the same topic. None of them wants the other one to know about it, because each and every one of them wants to do the job. And subhanAllah, when Abu Jahl came, highly protected, you know, and Abdurrahman bin Auf, when he saw him, he said, "Children, this is what you're looking for." You know, he said they jump like an arrow, you know. And they went and they did the job. Exactly, they kept their word and they did it for the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Washabu nasha fi ibadatillah." I really advise you, as a younger person, you know, have these good manners and keep them, and be a Muslim wherever you go. Maintain this identity. Islamic identity should maintain in you wherever you go. Don't you ever compromise, if there is anything to compromise, but not this. Islamic identity cannot be compromised. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are some which are not really related to this, but I would just mention the last two. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Wa rajulun da'athum ra'atun dhatu mansibin wa jamal faqala inni akhafu Allah." And a person who was invited by a woman, you know, who was so great in terms of beauty, and also she has position, but he says, "I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And I guess I already addressed this. The most person who is distracted when it comes to dealing with the opposite gender are the younger ones. The old people, they lost desire usually. You know, when a person reached the older age, he lost the desire. Who is having this burning desire? You know, the younger ones. And unfortunately, we provide the system for them whereby they can mix freely in most instances. And we think good is supposed to take place. No, never. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to maintain that barrier. And as long as this barrier is not being maintained, wallahi, we have to accept anything that is coming, you know, and anything that is happening in our community, which we hear. You know, I live in a place whereby almost every day you have to hear things like this, things of this nature, every single day. And somebody says this is only 10th of what is going on that the media was able to capture. We are not for this announcement. We don't want it, actually. We want it to be kept in secret. But the most important thing is giving the tarbiyah to the people and not opening that barrier which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set up. We have the khalwa, you go to the place, you see boy and girl, and sometimes there is no relationship. In most instances, actually, no relationship. Thinking that this is what education necessitates. And somebody gave them that evil khutbah that they have to train themselves, you know, on how to deal with each other. And then at the end of the day, when they go and they commit the crime and they go and look for Sheikh Fulan or Fulan, what to do, you know. And yesterday Sheikh Fulan or Ilan was telling them, "Please don't do that." And they will go and break the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have whatever they want to have. And at the end of the day, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was afraid of will take place. Because he says, no two people, male and female, who are not related to each other will be in a place except that the third person will be shaitan. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, righteous, extremely righteous, righteous people, they fell into this trap of shaitan because they opened the barrier. They couldn't go out of it. What do you think of us? You know, Imam Ahmad says, "You can entrust me in anything, you know, but not the opposite gender, I can't." You know, and you know who is Imam Ahmad? And he said, no matter how much ugly is this opposite gender, he said, "I cannot be trusted. I don't trust myself." And subhanAllah, we have a person among our younger people will tell you, "No problem, it's okay." One of the two things is happening. Either he is desensitized, or he is the same gender of the one that he's dealing with, but he doesn't know. But other than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, one of these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put under the shade of the arsh is a younger person, or a person who is invited by a woman. And you can say a woman who is invited by a man who is, very handsome, but she says, "I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And we have excellent example of this. You know, in the past, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there was a man, you know, who repented afterwards. You know, he found himself in a situation whereby he put all of his body on top of a woman who doesn't want that. But because of difficulty in life, she had no option, you know, except to accept him so that she can survive. And that shows how important is reactivating the zakat system and the waqf system. Because if we do have this system being functioning in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people like this woman will never be in a situation whereby she has to submit her honor and dignity for somebody to tarnish it and destroy it completely to get something to eat. And believe it or not, my brothers and sisters, there are situations in our communities where a person has to sell her honor and dignity for her to get something to feed her children. That was a very wrong approach, because we do have other dimension. But if tarbiyah is not to be given, a person might prefer this because to them it's cheaper than other means. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So the younger ones, my advice to you is to take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Marriage is very simple. Marry, you know, and protect yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. He says, whoever can afford al-ba'a. What is al-ba'a? Al-ba'a is the financial capability and the physical capability. A person can approach a wife sexually. And also he can feed a wife. Financially he is capable. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, falyatazawwaj, let him marry. Then go to that fancy way, you know, just look for something that can sustain your marriage. Just go ahead and marry. This is the advice from Rasulullah. And he was talking to who? Shabab, the youth. And that's when he started addressing us from 16 years old. Those 16 years old, the Prophet ﷺ is talking to them that they should marry as long as they can afford it. Physically and financially. And we don't. We go and replace it with something else. So I really advise you to preserve this objective of the Sharia. Marry as long as you can afford doing this marriage. The best in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard is somebody who has a wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ أَنْغَدُّ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرِجِ. You Allah, those people who married, if they maintain their adab, they will tell you this. They're more conscious. You know, I'm very sorry to say that, because I know that most of us are not in this, organization of marriage, you know. But the one who married have more consciousness, you know, the akal, the numu of the akal, even if he's at the younger age, the numu of the fikr, you know, and thinking is greater than the one who is not. Excellency in the universities also is taking place in those who married, because they have somebody to comfort them at home, which the other one doesn't have. And this evil attitude, the disease, once a person get it inside the heart, wallahi, it destroys the heart. And it affects the productivity of a student of knowledge in the university. I teach, I can release facts on this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. And the last person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. I skipped some of them. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and a person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret, and he cries because of that. In the second narration of the hadith, which I will conclude with it, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I exceeded the time I said I will take. Unfortunately, I wasn't feeling well, but right now I feel some strength when I was talking. I don't know what happened. Alhamdulillah. Talking about the youth caused me to forget my my status. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So the second hadith is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that says, لَن تَزُولَ قَدَمَ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعَ. The feet of one of us will not move from its position except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask him about four things. Your feet will not move from its position except unless that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about four things. And you are supposed as a Muslim to be busy answering these four things in this life. You're supposed to be busy answering these four things in this life before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An umrihi fi mafna, your life, how did you complete it? How did you end your life? The whole thing given to you from the childhood until death. How did you end this life? Because it's a mana given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gave you, which is part of your life, how did you end it? How did you spend it? How did you deal with it? And the next one is, Wa an shababihi fi mafna. And your youth, how did you finish this youthness? This stage, this age, how did you finish it? So brothers and sisters, wallahi, we should be aware of this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Because these are heavy questions that will be cast on a person when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know I'm speaking the truth, that this is the greatest meeting that is going to happen in your life before you are granted Jannah, inshallah, you will never see hell. The greatest meeting and the most worrying meeting is this. In the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to make all of our worries in this life be the worry of meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to make it an excellent meeting and a successful meeting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is drawing our attention here is that if you want to do it properly, you should utilize your youth. Make sure that this age, this stage that you have, you utilize it properly so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your future. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you don't need to worry in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. Be good in this level of the age. You don't need to do a lot of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put an eye of protection on you when you grow older. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will maintain that strength. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will ask you, how did you spend your youth? You went to the university. What did you do? I focus in the university because I'm dealing with the students in the university. And this is where the vast majority of the youth that I deal with exist. How did you spend it? You focus on your education. What exactly brought you to that university? You know, intention also matters. Because one of the reasons why we don't care about what comes after that, because our intention at the first place is wrong. What brought you to the university? Did you ever choose the specialization you're choosing based on objectives? You have goals in that? You know what exactly are you looking for? And unfortunately, the vast majority of us, although they have objectives, they have goals they're trying to achieve. But unfortunately, these are dunya goals. Allah doesn't have any portion in it. I just want to graduate with a good certificate so that my job will be excellent. Yahi, these are 4 years you're spending in the university. Why can't you think and reflect at the first place to make intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your education? Whether you're studying the dunya or you're studying the akhirah, but let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get involved so that you will be protected. Rizq is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't you ever put in your mind that your education is the one that is going to make you rizq, is going to make you rich. Kalla. It is not like that. Because we do have people who are uneducated and they're so rich, they're living a very good life. You have people in the village, they're living a very good life. They don't know anything. Even how to write their name, they don't know. I'm not devaluing education. Education is necessary in the life of a Muslim. It is a great deficiency to have a youth without education. Very great deficiency. But I just want you to understand this fact that rizq is not coming from this. Rizq in terms of the sustenance, what you need to eat is not coming from this. It might come, but it's not from this. And as such, I will advise you to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your journey so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you even after you graduate. When you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide you with a better job that will protect your honor and dignity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get involved. So intention should be excellent. And how did you live your life? Did you waste those 4 years? Or you focus on your education and you maintain the Muslim identity whether your parents are with you or they're not? Because sometimes the reason why we get distracted because the parents are not monitoring us. I came to Malaysia, I go to Australia, I go to some other places which a person is not making a right thinking just because somebody went to that place or you see them on the TV, they have this and that, and they just jump into the place. You don't even know how to live in that place and preserve your religion properly. And there we go. Every single thing you do in this moment of time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you about it. So these values that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trained the companions, which are universally accepted values, even in the circles of the non-Muslim, they're accepted wherever you go, have to be maintained. We need to see them in the younger ones. We need to see them in the younger ones, much more greater than the way we see them in the older ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَعَنْ عُمْرِ وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَاهُ وَعَنْ مَالِهِ وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا أَعْمِلَ بِهِ. And the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, what did you do with it? you know, as a younger person or old man, the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you and blessed you with, what did you do with it? How did you utilize it? You know, you graduated from the university, whatever you have been taught by your lecturers, did you put it into practice and action? Did you use it in the way it benefits your ummah? You know, those ones, they carry mission, you know, they carry mission. Even a math teacher, when she teaches in the classroom, they introduce the mission of their religion. The only one who is sleeping are the Muslims, you know. They have objective in almost everything they're doing, and we don't have. And we have been told by Islam that we have to do things in the proper way. Every single thing you need in a way to practice the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you in the best way, wallahi, have been given to you by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the problem is we are just lazy. So the knowledge that you learn from the university, whatsoever your sheikh gave you in the university, the teacher gave you, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for you. You will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did you utilize it? Did you benefit the ummah? Did you benefit the nation? Did you use it properly in the proper way? Or you neglected the knowledge? And the last thing mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَ أَنْفَقَهُ. And the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you, how did you get it and how did you spend it? How did you get it and how did you spend it? So look at the younger ones and where does their money goes, you know. I don't think you need anyone to tell you this. Where does the money of the younger ones goes? This money is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are just there as a caretaker, you know, to take care of it. And there is a heavy questions, you know, that will come on the day of judgment about how did you get your wealth and how did you utilize it. So the focus is on how to get it, to make sure that you use the best way. You know, the people nowadays are in a state of haste. They don't care. Whatever job they get, as long as it can give them money, it's okay. You know, I receive many questions from the younger ones about jobs. And sometimes a person will tell you, this is the only opportunity we can have. Who told you this is the only opportunity? You know, it's just a test by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see what would you do when you're trapped by this situation of making a choice, whether to choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to choose other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, I guess these two hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more than enough for the younger ones nowadays. And as such, I will conclude with this advice of mine. Dear brothers and sisters, identity is really important. I'm addressing the youth, and whoever is here among us who already passed this age, identity is really important. And this is what we call al-istiqama in Islam. Maintaining the Islamic identity, this is really important. This Islamic identity is supposed to be preserved physically and spiritually. Mannery-wise, you maintain those values that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed the ummah on, which are details and explained by the scholars. Honesty, speaking the truth, adab, you know, adab in almost every place wherever you go. When a person sees you, he sees an honest person and he sees the sign of Islam in you. This is what I meant by identity. In the way you dress, you don't dress like others, you dress like a Muslim, wherever you go. Regardless of what people are going to talk and say about you, be clean, be smart, but Islamic smartness, not the smartness in the wrong way. You go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you call that smartness. It is not smartness and it will never be smartness. So the first thing is Islamic identity should be preserved, which is based on the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do remember that the ummah is waiting for you. Wallahi, you are the future of the generation. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you are the future of the generation. All of these people who are leading the world, they used to be young, they used to be youth, but today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them lead the generation they are living with. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, so you have to be prepared for this. Be serious in your righteousness, be serious in your dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be very committed to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I focus on this because success lies in the preservation of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sulaiman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah granted him this ability to have this strong civilization, you know, which is far greater than what Balqis has, the queen in Saba, you know, is greater than hers. And what did he say in replying to that which she has? When she came and she became like a villager, Sulaiman said, وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا وَكُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ. We have been given the knowledge before her, and we are Muslims, subhanAllah. He relates that which Allah SWT granted them of civilization with what? With Islam. So we have to preserve this. Islam shouldn't be compromised in your life. That's the first and the last thing you will be preserving until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, I guess I should close this session. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve you and to protect all of you, and to grant our younger ones, you know, courage to study and to preserve their iman, and to understand the responsibility that is facing them in the future, and to work for that, you know, to be very dedicated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm done from my side. If the host is there and there is any question, please do let me know about it.
Sheikh, I'll read the question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. For the person who is tempted by a woman and he abstains and says, I fear Allah, can this be applied generally? Say a person who's offered to do sin with a high person in rank, manager of a company, minister, etc.
Say the question again.
For a person who is tempted by a woman and he abstains and says, I fear Allah, can this be applied generally? If a company manager or someone offered to do a sin or something.
Yes, that's it has to be applied actually generally in every place. We have to apply it. This is hadith that is directed to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not specifically addressing a specific type of people. Everyone is included, not the younger ones. But the younger ones, they are the most vulnerable people in this regard. That's why the focus might be on them, rather than the old man who lost his desire. But it is applicable upon every place. Let's say a sister happened to be in the wrong place, you know, next to the man all the time, next to him in a room, you know, subhanAllah, which she is supposed to quit this job because this is khalwa, that is not supposed to be happening, you know. We're supposed to cut it off. It has to be in an open place where people can see them. But if somebody is invited in any place, they have to reject it and they have to deny it. They have to stay away from it. They get it? Even if they're going to lose their job, let them lose their job. Wallahi, it is better for a woman to go and eat the leaves of the tree than submitting herself to a criminal who will commit an evil act with her. And this happens, unfortunately, even in universities, you know. In universities. In some universities, you know, a woman cannot pass, you know, unless some of the sisters, unless if they submit themselves, you know, to criminals, then they can be given the mark. What is she looking for in this education? What is her good in working, you know? What is she looking for? You know, that she has to submit herself and sell her honor and dignity for her to reach this position? SubhanAllah. We have to understand this reality, you know. Rizq is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should work and preserve his honor and dignity no matter what. Don't sacrifice and don't sell your honor and dignity because of what? Because of the dunya. Dunya, you can get it from everywhere. But if you lost your honor, this one cannot be replaced at all. So if a sister works in a place or a brother works in a place which he is threatened to commit this illegal relationship, that means the time for him to quit this job was there yesterday, not today. He must quit immediately. He has to stay away from it immediately. This is where hijrah is necessary. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
Thank you, Sheikh. We have another question.
Okay, alhamdulillah, my host come back.
Yeah, sorry, we had a technical issue. Can you hear me now clearly?
Yeah, very clearly.
So what is the religious use of relationship before marriage? How will you explain if two opposite gender have a relationship or intention to get married and closely work together for study, eating, and etc.?
The last part of the question, and closely work together. Okay. I got it. Okay, let me put it for you. If we're looking for Islamic approach, and we are honest to ourselves, let me put for you the way Islam addressed this matter. Islam made it very simple. We made it complicated, and we lost in most instances. And believe me if you wish, in many countries where this relationship, which are un-Islamic, taking place, in many countries, at the end of the day, he will corrupt the sister. But when it comes to marriage, some of them, they go to the village. They will never agree to marry a sister who went to the university. Believe it or not, I have examples of places where people, you know, it would be very difficult to see a university, you know, student who is marrying from the university. He doesn't want. They will tell you, we know who they are. No. But subhanAllah, what's happened to the aql of those sisters who are living with them? She let herself to be corrupted by him, but when it comes to the reality and marriage, you know, he will never agree to marry with her because he knows he cannot trust her. He doesn't know how many people she goes with and what exactly is happening. You know, I blame the sister side because they are the victim in most instances. He ran away. He corrupt and then ran away and go and look for somebody whom he called pure and clean. So what kind of approach do we have Islamically when a person wanted to marry? Very simple. You identify first the person, the candidate you want. And the second thing, and I hope people who are here, they will listen to me properly. How are we supposed to make it? You identify the candidate you want to marry. And then check about their attitudes and manners and righteousness. And how do you know about this? Some people became very sensitive. They don't understand the reality about the matter. How is it possible for me to ask a person about himself, you know, to tell me whether he's righteous or not? That's why when you're looking about the manners and the attitudes of a person and how much he practiced the religion, you don't ask him. You know I'm telling the truth. If you to ask him, in most instances, he will not be honest to you. Even if he doesn't pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, he will tell you he is a very honest person and he prays 5 times in a day. And especially when it comes to marriage, the sisters must know this and the brothers must know this. Once the hearts get together, it's not easy to disconnect them. A person is willing to do everything possible to attract the other party to accept them. The sister will be doing things which she knows the suitor wants, and the person also will be doing things which he knows the future, you know, candidate likes. So how do I know about his attitude and his manners? I ask the community. I go to the people who I believe they know him properly and they will not cheat in their answers. That's why even Islam says it is not backbiting. You can talk about the attitude and the manners and the religious and the behavior of that person and you're not backbiting them. Because it is necessary for us to know that. So first you identify the person you want. And secondly, you go and check about their manners and their attitude from the community. The community will tell you everything. And thirdly, and then if you are okay, you are satisfied that this is your the person, inshallah, this is the best person to be your future wife or your future husband, you know, but let me focus on the male looking for a wife, you know. If he is satisfied, then the next stage is to approach the family members, whoever is supposed to grant the final word, the wali. Do you get the idea? These strategies are supposed to be maintained because not maintaining them always put us into trouble. Because if I go straightforward and there is a sister who I want to marry and then I just go and talk to her straightforward, she might agree. And once she agrees, we come together. Only Allah knows what will happen in between. And then tomorrow I might be going to the family, I talk to them, I want to marry your daughter. The father might tell me, no, I don't want. The mother will say, I don't want. And then it will be crisis at home between the girl and her parent. And we have heard about cases where the boy ran away with the girl. They both run away because the parent of the girl doesn't want to give him. And we have heard situations whereby other things which are taking place, which are so evil, before or during the marriage with somebody who she doesn't want, but the parent wants, but she has another candidate. That's why it is necessary before you approach her. Unless if there is no any other way to approach the parent, talk to the parent first. Get the red line, green line, not the red line. Get the green line that you can go ahead, you know. And then after that, of course, they will arrange meeting between you and their daughter, between you and them, between you and the, this is the healthiest way. And this is the best way, my dear brothers and sisters. So then if you agree with her physical parents, she agrees with your physical parents, you know, you already check about the attitude and the manners, you have no problem with that. But now if you agree with her or she agrees with you, then the next stage would take place, which is the marriage, which shouldn't take long. It should be as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible. That's why you can marry within a week. Some people said, no, I don't get to know her attitude and her manners and how much she thinks. You know, this is a joke. Agree or not, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a joke. You will never the real attitude of your of the girl you want to marry, and she will never the real attitude and your manners, you know, until the marriage happened. Why do we do the search to get the clue of the way they live with others, to understand that most probably we will not fail in this regard? But to get the mentality, the way they think, this one can only happen when you marry. Because usually people can hide things, you know, for a very short period of time. But after the marriage, that attitude and manners cannot be hidden. So I will come back to say that identification of the person who you want to marry. And then check about their attitudes and their manners. And talk to the parents. Then go ahead. This is how we're supposed to begin. You will never find a place, my dear brothers and sisters, in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where you are recommended to talk to the girl before you marry her. It is not haram to talk, but the way we are doing it is wrong, and it leads to evil most of the time, if not all the time. And what we are claiming to do, that we are trying to understand who they are, this is a joke. That's why in most instances, you know, after the marriage, the wife will be complaining, the husband will be complaining, I got cheated, I never thought you were like this. And she will also say, I never thought you were like this. Yes, of course, because you deceive yourself. Islam guided you, because if you focus on the manners and attitude, wallahi, if your wife is righteous and she fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to enjoy life. If your husband is righteous and he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to enjoy life. The focus should be on these ones. Not shallow thinking, you know, not shallow kind of love, which will fizzle in a very quick manner. So I will repeat, that kind of relationship should be stopped. When you identify the one whom you want to marry, just make it very quickly. Not sending messages, not talking to each other, not sitting down and eating with each other, not doing jalan-jalan, and going around every place, you know. No, she's not your wife yet. You know, this one you do it after the marriage. Every single movement you do with her, you might be sinning because of that. And you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in your marriage, and unfortunately you started it in the wrong way. So it is my personal advice to our younger ones. Focus on your education until the time you want to marry. Don't open this page before the time you decided to marry. Sometimes I just jump into the university and I see a girl I want to marry, and then I open this page. We keep on talking, chatting, going around, you know, for 4 years. And that affects the education, not just your iman, even the dunya also is going to get affected. So close this page until the time you want to marry. Lower your gaze. Then open your eyes and look here and there. You will be distracted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and help us to choose the best partner and not let us regret in this regard. Yes, Sheikh Omar.
We have another question. How to apply Islamic values and principles in everyday life?
Very simple. Choose good friends. And when you are choosing the friends, you know, after educating yourself, learn what are these Islamic values first and know them. And then choose an excellent partner to be with you. I'm not talking about the wife, but even your friends who are supposed to be with you, they should be upon these values and manners. But if you go and take everyone to be your friend in the way we see nowadays, everyone can come and become your friend. This is very dangerous and is very wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tusahib illa mu'minan wa la ya'kul ta'amaka illa taqi." Don't you ever take somebody to be close to you as a friend except a believer, a good one. Because these are the ones, when they see you going in the wrong way, they will fix you. They will advise you. They will put you in the right place. And seeing them from time to time is more than enough for you to be to be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is essential. So knowledge is important, and try also be in the circles of remembrance. You know, I will give the example of UIA. We have so many classes being run in our masjid in so many places. But unfortunately, when you go to the classes, you know, we have around 20,000 students. You know, something around that nature. But you go to these circles of remembrance, you see only a few. You know, but I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, those places when you go and sit down. For like between Maghrib and Isha, sometimes it's how long? 1 hour or less than 1 hour is enough, you know, to refresh the iman in you. You know, as one of the brothers said among the youth, you know, he said so and so person is coming to our university to teach. You know, when somebody was asking him, he said, "Alhamdulillah, we got somebody to come and visit us from time to time to teach us." He said, "That's enough for us, you know, to come back to our consciousness. You know, after 2, 3, 4, 5 days, we can maintain that, and then we go back, and then he will come back also and give us the same nasiha." This is how we, you know, keep those values and manners. You know, so make sure that you learn first these manners and values, and secondly, choose a good friend, good company. You cannot live alone. You have to have somebody next to you. Choose a good ones, and please don't stay away completely from the circles of remembrance. Have a list, the one that you attend weekly basis or bi-weekly. You know, after every 2 weeks, you have a place where you go, and the sheikh or the instructor is going to remind you about Islamic manners and values. Barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallahu khair, Sheikh
Ibrahim.
Oh, another question. What age is good to get married?
What is that?
What age is good to get married?
16. Yeah, or if we go with the system, in most of the countries they don't say it's haram, but they said according to the law you have to reach 17, 18. But at least don't go beyond that, you know. Nowadays in some places, subhanAllah, even at 24 years old is too early, you know. And you know how much you're wasting, you know, for the Ummah? You might find it funny, but it's a reality. How much we're wasting? A lot. When you marry at the age of 24, you know, from 16 to 24, we lost how many years? 8 years. We are supposed to have at least 5 to 7 children at that moment. We lost. And we still think this is right, you know? So the best age, keep quiet, sorry. The best age is 16 years old. You go older, you know, marry at the age of 18, 17. But then go beyond 24. Especially the sister side. It's wrong to go beyond 24. Because according to some of the cultural practice, the age of 24, 25 is the age of unusa, they call it. That's going beyond the age of marriages. So sometimes they have to compromise. You know, you have so many people who don't want to marry somebody who is a bit older, especially when it comes to the wife. It is unfair to find the brothers at any age, as long as he has money, he can marry. But in many communities, when a sister passed the age of 25, it will not be easy for her to get an appropriate person who she desires. So honestly speaking, Ahmed, I will propose the same age the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressing when he says Shabab. And Shab begins from 16. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find these early marriages, and there was no problem with that, you know. Abdullah ibn Amr, between him and his father, Amr ibn al-As, is only 11 years. Do you know that? Between the father and the son is only 11 years. Do you get the idea? So that's why sometimes we marry at the very old age, when people see your children, they will be thinking that these are your brothers, you know. The difference is very little. The time you want them to support you, you know, they're still young, you know. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our student to think wisely, you know. Maybe Wami Club, I don't know how much is it, Wami or just the name, but maybe this one, since you care so much about youth, you know, maybe you open an account for the youth, whoever wants to marry, tell him come, inshallah, tomorrow you will have like 6,000 applications, you know, it will be good, inshallah, fi mizan hasanatikum, you know.
I have a question. Okay, nowadays, we are influenced by, you know, in many and different ways, from like the environment, the media, social media, everywhere. So how do you maintain like the identity of Islam that you were talking about, and how to preserve Islam in our hearts, especially as I mentioned nowadays.
Well, honestly speaking, Ahmed, this is one of the issues I decided to talk about, but unfortunately, I don't want to exhaust you and exhaust myself. That's why I cut it off. I give general principles. But it is really an issue that is alarming. You know, we are losing people because of the social media. And as such, my advice in this regard is to say that we have to preserve our identity. How to preserve your identity? Remember that you are Muslim, and your time is one of the most valuable a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. And don't you ever test your iman. And try not to test your iman at all. What happens is we test our iman. You know, we test our iman. And this is very dangerous. How do we test our iman? We visit every single website. Last time I was quoting to some of you guys that a sister talked to me. I don't know whether she's still alive or not. I'm not, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them. But a sister talked to me that she has a doubt in the religion. You know, she said she has doubt in Islam. You know, and subhanAllah, another sister was waiting for my reaction, you know, to see, am I going to fight back and get harsh, you know, when she sees that I don't fight, you know, I don't hit. She said, okay, she also can present her case, you know. She said, yeah, Ustaz, I also have the same concern that I don't feel that much that Islam is the correct religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I used to deal with these situations whereby I will be sitting with a person who was introduced to me by others that he has doubt in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the correct religion. And in all of these situations, the reason why these guys fell into that which they are in, it is because of the media. Yeah. It is because of the media. So my advice is we shouldn't test our iman. We shouldn't test our iman at all. You should be very selective when it comes to where to go on the media. First of all, unnecessarily, a group should be avoided. Joining group. Nowadays, you don't want to join a group, people put you inside. This issue of the Facebook should be monitored properly. You should know where to go if you decide to go for it. But if you think that you're not strong enough to protect your iman and your honor and dignity and your identity, I will advise you to disconnect yourself from it. Any social media that is changing your life and having impact on your attitude and your manner, as a Muslim, you have to stay away from it and look for other alternatives. So the first thing you should do is not to test your iman, and also be very selective when it comes to where to visit. Because all of those ones, when they talk to me, wallahi, some of them I found the website they have been visiting, which changed them completely. They are the website which are introduced by the apostate. You know, and you have a younger person who doesn't have any criteria and the tools to differentiate between right and wrong. When you let him go and swim in the media, what do you think he's going to come up with? Come out with it. So this is a very important question, but I believe the answer is very simple. That a Muslim should remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala monitors him. Knows where you should know what to do and where to go. And don't waste your time. All of this time that we are spending on the Facebook, you know, we are spending on the Twitter, we are spending on YouTube, we are spending on Instagram. Okay, this is the only thing I know. And all of this time that we are spending in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you every single second you spend on them, you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have no excuse when we lose our identity, wallahi, we have no excuse in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, we should be very sensitive. I think this is the best answer I can give you. We should be very sensitive when it comes to what to do and how to approach these social media. And don't trust anyone. Don't visit except something that you have no doubt in it. You know, don't just go randomly, because you might lose your iman not knowing that you're going against your iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and grant us consciousness to understand how to deal with this social media. It's a very good means of educating people and spreading the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, the enemy is using it also as a tool to put doubt in the Muslim community, and they succeeded to a certain extent in that regard. So let's close the door. don't give them chance to do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. And also, when you happen to open a page on this social media, you should know who to accommodate. Don't open it for everyone. You know, we have people who get distracted and get destroyed because they open it for everyone. They get a lot of invitation, and that was the beginning of the destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to truth.
I would like just to remind everyone that if you have any question, you can write your question in the chat or just raise your hand and then we will give you the mic. So, Sheikh Ibrahim, what is the best way to utilize the golden era that you were talking about, other than just studying for us, right?
The best way is knowledge. Wallahi, for the younger one, the best advice I can give you is the knowledge, especially the Islamic knowledge. Don't you ever burn this age except by strapping yourself with strong amount of knowledge, you know, that will help you, you know, to maintain your istiqamah in the future. And have good intention, you know, and participate in benefiting the ummah. This humanitarian aid, you know, that some organization are doing, which are really beneficial to the Muslim ummah. This is the thagra, you know, the vacuum that we have to fill. The missionaries, they are filling this. They provide them with every necessity, you know, so that tomorrow when they introduce their faith, they will take it. So I will choose for the younger one this knowledge. Spend your time. The best thing that a younger person will do to spend this youth age is knowledge, especially the Islamic knowledge, and then you attach to it also the dunya knowledge. Nowadays, my dear brothers and sisters, we don't need medical doctors, we don't need scientists, because we already have. But what we need is a scientist who is hafiz li kitabillah, scientist who is a mini scholar, you know, so that they will not come to contradict the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on shallow thinking, you know. We need a medical doctor, but at the same time, Hafiz the Kitabillah, who is upon the good manners, so that he will be observing Islam in his office. We don't need somebody who go and learn the dunya and that's it. No. So the best thing, my dear brothers and sisters, to spend this age with is the knowledge, and also the rest of the energy you have, do participate in bringing good to the Muslim community according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Does anyone have any question?
Inshallah, no.
All right. I think with this answer, Sheikh Ibrahim, first we'd like to thank you very much for coming today and giving us this very valuable talk. Thank you so much, and Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Ibrahim. And I think their questions are coming, Sheikh Ibrahim. Do you want to take them?
No problem, inshallah. All
right. Okay, last question. Actually, most questions actually about marriage.
No problem. That's the case of the younger ones. Whenever you speak to the youth, this question will come forward.
All right. How did Umar
Ibn Abdulaziz died? Unfortunately, he was poisoned by those people who were annoyed with his leadership. And these are the family matter also. So they poisoned him. They put a poison in a food which he ate, and threw one of the slaves, you know. And subhanAllah, that Umar Ibn Abdulaziz, he knew about what happened. People used to think that he was affected by magic, you know. So he told them, no, I wasn't affected by magic. I know what happened. That food I ate, right after I finished it, I started feeling something, you know. So he called the one who gave him the food. He said to him, why did you do that? He says, Alfu dinarin utituha. He said, they gave me 1,000 dinar, and they promised to free me from the slavery after this. Umar said to him, go and bring that 1,000 dinar. He brought the 1,000 dinar. Umar said to somebody to go and put it in the Baytul Mal al-Muslimin, and he asked the slave to just leave the community. He forgave him. He said, just leave the community. That's how he passed away, rahimahullah. Because Evil has so many people who are against it. You know, they don't like how he led the Muslim community. So they kept on plotting, but Allah did not give them chance until the time he himself, he was making dua for Allah to take his life because his son was gone. His personal advisor also died. So he said, "Ya Allah, now I don't have anyone to support me. Those ones, they used to support me properly. And I had them among human beings for my support, and now you have taken them. Ya Allah, I don't think I can handle the affair of the Muslims, and as such, grant me success to leave this life and go back to you." And Allah accepted his dua in this way of Ash-Shahada, rahimahullah. Okay, the next question I read some part of it about, is it advisable to have a child every year? Ahmad, is it the question? Is it advisable to have a child every year?
Yeah.
Right. So if this is the question, then I will say I wish human being can have a child every 6 months. A year is too far, you know. One of our great scholars said, if it is possible every year to have a child, you should do it. Because the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear when he says, I advise you to marry those who can bear children and who love you at the same time, because I want to be proud of your size on the Day of Judgment. Don't you ever listen to somebody who tells you having children is a deficiency or it caused problem. No, it didn't. It doesn't. It brings prosperity and good to the Ummah. Having huge population is the strength. We just have to make sure that we educate them properly. That's our job. So it is really advisable by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not my advice, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants you to have as much as you can. So if you can have every year, that would be okay. If your wife can handle that, that would be excellent. This is the advice we got from our scholars. That's very, very good. You know, some people are thinking about this. Some people, even the marriage, they want to have it after, I don't know, maybe when they go to the grave, then we arrange the marriage there, you know. They have so many ambitions, they have so many plans, they have to reach this situation, they have to reach this age, and then they marry. I wish them all the best.
Another completion of question says, medical advice says, after giving birth, the mother needs to 2 years to recover. Yeah, at least.
No, that's not true. That's not true. We have facts who have a lot. In the past, they used to have. I witnessed this, you know, myself, you know. And they are stronger than our sisters nowadays, you know, and they have children. And I can have in my brain numbers of people who have these children, you won't believe it, you know. They have. Within the age of their marriage, you can imagine how much they have, you know, and it goes. There is no problem with that. As long as she's not facing health problem and she can handle that, it is okay. It is okay. All of these medical advices, I call them theories. You know, they might be correct, they might be wrong. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is supposed to be heard. To say that 2 years is a minimum, no, these are human thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict it. That means restriction is not a requirement at all. As long as she can handle it, a person can go as much as he can. She wants to have a break, 1 year, 2 years, it's okay. This is between them. But if you're talking about advice, is it good to have it in this way? Yes, it's good to have a child every year. MashaAllah, if they have 10 years, they have 10 children. 20 years, they have 20 children. Anas ibn Malik, he left around 100 children between a grandchildren and a child. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make dua for him. So it's a blessing of Allah's matter to grant you children, you know. The more you have is a strength, you know. They told me about somebody in his house, he has 80 children. In his house, in any event, they don't invite others. Only his children comes and they fill the house, you know. Imagine if somebody wants to smack you, you know, and he knows that you have 80 soldiers in your house, you know. He would think wisely, you know, so much, you know, before he approaches you, because he knows that he is going to be wanted by 80 people at least, you know. So I don't want you to have children because of this, but anyway, it is strength, and according to the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's good to have a child frequently. Any other question?
All right.
Yeah. If no question, okay. If no question, then I will close the session, inshallah.
All right. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Ibrahim Noor. And thank you everyone for joining us. And also stay tuned for more valuable programs from Wami Club and Hazrem Student Society. Jazakumullah khair jameen.
Ameen, Ajmain. Before I close, I really appreciate. What is that?
This is the last question. At least Anas bin Malik is the Sahaba. Have the knowledge. How are we, the non-Sahaba? Should we really not mind the risk?
No, it's not a risk, actually. This is just a quick reply, and then I close the session. It's not a risk at all. It's not a risk. Having children is not a risk. You know, these are ample responsibilities. We shouldn't be lazy. And that is a way to take care of a child. The Prophet ﷺ have already granted us this way. We're supposed to do it step by step. You know, you're supposed to take care of the first child properly. They will support you in taking care of the second one and the third one. This is how we go. You don't wait until you have all the children and then you start taking care of them at once. This is what we do nowadays. That's where we get lost. Anas doesn't have anything other than that which is given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we got the same thing, if not more than what Anas got from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did he succeed and we fail? Because he was very dedicated to application of that knowledge, and we are not. Why can't we be dedicated? You know, why do we blame something which is not supposed to be blamed? And to be honest with you, we have a person who has one child and he's not taking care of him. And we have a person who has a lot of children and they are very honest, they are very dedicated, they are so excellent. Do you get the idea? They are very excellent. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. I don't take it as a risk in something, but it is a responsibility that we have to handle properly. Okay. Jazakumullah khairan. I wish I have more time to talk more on this, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good. And to the Wami Club, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good for granting me this opportunity to use your platform to address the Muslim twice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a success for all of us and accept it from all of us. And I love you for the sake of Allah. May Allah make us among those whom He loves. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.